We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, this one right here. I'm talking about this one. I do mean this one, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, a bunch of y'all are texting in already. Appreciate that. The number is 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. We got some big rig love going in the text messages, just saying.
Yeah, I appreciate all y'all. Thank you for the text.
Yeah, good stuff, man. Hey, we're going to dive into this immigration issue, too. But I'll tell you what, let me get a few of these text messages first. Howard from Trustful says, hey, Phil, I bet we won't hear anything about this on the communist news networks, but China just test-fired an ICBM in the South Pacific capable of reaching the continental United States. They haven't done anything like this in 44 years. What does that tell you about the strength of our leadership and our military? I'm concerned, Howard. I need to find the story on that one. I had not heard that yet, so thank you for sharing. David from Madison says, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on the action of George Soros procuring 220 radio stations CONUS-wide. What do you make of that? What I make of that? The man hates America, and he realizes that 88% of all Americans, according to Nielsen, are still touched by radio every week. 88% of all Americans are touched by some form of radio every week. So I think George Soros is planning to take his anti-American message to new heights. So, I do have a whole dipper on that today, so we'll cover that later. Victor from Huntsville says, congratulations to Big Rig. That's awesome and all glory to God. John from Miner says, we love and we will miss you, Big Rig. You've done a fantastic job. TL from Huntsville, Big Rig, sorry to see you go. You'll be missed. God blessings on you, your family, and your new business. John from Huntsville says, Big Rig, if he leaves, who's going to create the Meatloaf Monday sound effect? Well, he's got 24 hours left to get that done.
I'm going to get it done today.
Nice. JT Lacey Spring says, board operators, we've had Copper, Boomer, Butters, Big Rig, and now JP. Who will be in the next spring? Godspeed, Big Rig. Next spring's still going to be JP. Don't be saying stuff like that, JT.
That just made me think, what's JP's nickname going to be?
What's JP?
But it's got to be B, right?
I know. I think we're going to have to break the mold because he's already been JP on the show.
Yeah, he's got to have a nickname.
Yeah, okay. All right, we'll figure it out. Okay, we'll figure it out. Jeff from Indiana. Hey, Phil, it's good to see you stepped up to be the good uncle, snatching JP away from the clutches of Dale Jackson. You know, I had a perfect beta test. Can you imagine? So the story on that, by the way, is JP comes to me at Christmas last year and goes, hey, I really want to get into what y'all are doing. And I had I had Big Rig here. I just no way I could do anything.
Yeah.
And I said, well, man, I'll tell you what, let me call my buddy Dale. And next thing I know, JP is working for Dale, getting up at 4:30 in the morning, making it to the studio every day, proving himself over and over again, running the board well. Dale says that's the best producer he's ever had. And then he comes on my show, and I'm thinking, we'll see how this goes. Bam, did well. Next thing I know, they're giving him his own radio show on Saturday mornings. And so then you drop the bomb on me that you're going away. And I'm like, well, I know who I'm calling then, friggin' JP.
That's all God's timing, man.
Yeah, I'm saying, it really is. Howard from Trustful sends me a link to the Fox News story about China launching the ICBM. Howard, I appreciate it, man. I'll check it out. All right, let me jump into the first dipper here, because coming up top of the hour, we're going to bring somebody on the phone with us, State Senator Lance Bell, who I've had the pleasure of knowing for a number of years. But listen, here's the thing. I said before on the show that leadership means a lot. There's an old phrase that I like to use called, as goes the king, so goes the country. The leadership does make a difference. It's not everything, but it is a lot of things. And leadership does more than just make a decision about what to do here and where to go there. And leadership also establishes the environment in which things happen. I really believe that if you look over the last 3.5-4 years, that what you're seeing is that the progressive left, and I really almost feel like it's been spiritual warfare, to be honest with you, has been empowered. They have been empowered. They have been scratching, clawing, and grabbing everything they can because they have been empowered to do it. Well, there is no difference in that with what I'm seeing in the illegal immigration environment. Illegal immigration and the so-called parole immigration, which is illegals by a different name, But this illegal immigration, mass migration wave of people, the millions and millions who have flooded the borders. And listen, I'm going to say it again, just in case somebody didn't hear me, because I know I have a few liberals who like to listen to the show and see what's up. Hang on, y'all. There's a cure for you. But the reality is, I am not opposed to legal migration. I have family members that are naturalized citizens. Love that. We were a nation built on that. You know what we were not a nation built on? We were not a nation built on illegal immigration. And we were not a nation ever designed to just open our borders and say, ollie, ollie, income free. And that's exactly what happened with the Biden-Harris administration. Well, they are so empowered. Here's my point. I go back to the point a minute ago about leadership also empowers or enables the environment. Illegals in this country right now are so empowered, they are feeling so entitled, that you have stories like this from the AP. Springfield, Ohio. In Springfield, Ohio, a group of Haitian immigrants calling themselves the Haitian Bridge Alliance. Oh, good. Now they've unionized. The Haitian Bridge Alliance has decided to invoke a private citizen right to press criminal charges against Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. I'm not kidding. They are doing it because of what the AP calls the spreading of false claims about legal immigrants during the presidential debate. No, let's be honest. If you're here because Biden flew you here and dropped you off in somebody's backyard and no one knew you were coming, you may call yourselves technically legal, but the reality is you are still nothing more than an invitee. All right, you are someone who is here and you're on tenuous ground and you do not have pure legal status. You have a status, but not purely legal status. So these citizens have now unionized. State law also requires that a hearing will have to take place before the affidavit can move forward. There's no hearing been scheduled yet, but they are charging Trump and Vance with disrupting public services, making false alarms, telecommunications harassment, aggravated menacing, and complicity, and asking for the court to issue warrants. This is, first of all, just go pound sand. That's how I just go pound sand. You come here virtually illegally. You set up shop and you demand free stuff. And then you have the audacity to say, you said a mean thing about us. We don't like it. So therefore, we're going to press criminal charges. Can anyone find something more entitled somewhere? Unbelievable. But a part of that problem we have right now is a refusal on the part of those in charge to take charge. I remember as a cadet years ago when I was training to be an Army officer, there was this thing that would happen. We'd be in training, we'd be doing some kind of decision-making process or leadership reaction course or whatever else, and there'd be that moment of hesitation, and one of the instructors would shout, "Make a decision, cadet! Make a decision, cadet!" And what they were doing was forcing you under duress to recognize that inactivity is a decision. Making a decision to do nothing is like making a decision to say no. You get into that analysis paralysis, or sometimes just choose to defer or deflect or hide your head in the sand. You've basically said no without saying no. That's what Kamala Harris has been doing for 4 years on the border. I've got a piece here that Brian York wrote for townhall.com. And he calls it, and it's so spot on, Kamala Harris's never-ending border dodge. He talks, first of all, about the thing that, and by the way, I didn't watch it. I saw bits and pieces of it. Couldn't stomach it. But the big, you know, shebang with Oprah Winfrey and Kamala Harris, which he points out was really one part love fest and one part pep rally. In fact, if you remember, those of you who may have seen it or at least heard about it, Oprah Winfrey starts off this thing, this which was not a serious event, by the way. She starts off with the very first question was, "Can you feel the joy rising here?" Oh, my gosh. And it went downhill from there. "You just stepped into your power," she said. "You just stepped into your power." Oh. Anyway, 40 minutes into the event, though, there was one guy that stood up. And he asked Vice President Harris, "When you become president, what would your specific steps be to strengthening the border?" It was like one of the only real questions of the entire night. You can imagine the response. Word salad, blah, blah, blah. Harris said, quote, "So it's a wonderful, important question. You know, my background was a prosecutor. I was also elected attorney general for 2 terms of a border state. This is not a theoretical issue for me. This is something I've actually worked on. I have prosecuted transnational criminal organizations for the trafficking of guns and drugs and human beings. I take very seriously the importance of having a secure border and ensuring the safety of the American people, blah, 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 blah. And I have to ask the question that nobody bothered to follow up with is, well, that's what you said back then, which is still dubious. But why haven't you done those things now? And she went on to say, when she's president, what she would do. Would somebody please remind her she's in charge right now? Don't try and pretend that Biden is. She could walk in the door of the White House tomorrow and say, we're going to do the X and so and X and so. And he would have no choice but to say yes. But she won't. So the idea of a day one take action mentality belies the fact that she is in day, 1374 now. Why does she need a day one? It's because she has no intent of doing anything. Under Biden-Harris, they took office on January 20th of 2021. Millions began to come in immediately. It went on through 2021, 22, 23. It's only when the election came around that you suddenly saw this need to say or do something. All right, before I go to the break, though, I have to point this out, just so you know. And we're going to get down to local stuff here in a minute. So Kamala Harris, a video popped up that I'm sure she wishes was never seen. But there's a resurfaced video that just popped up. Wokespy.com has it of her dancing with a crowd back before she was running for president the first time in 2018. And she's right there alongside her husband, Doug Emhoff, and the infamous Jussie Smollett. And she's dancing with a crowd, and she's joining them and chanting, down, down with deportation, down, down with deportation. Well, it tells you what's not going to be on her day one list, I guess, because she's already not for sending them back where they came from. Well, we know she's not, because what we're seeing right now is that she has constantly... She has supported DACA, which was, the Deferred Action for Child, the Dreamers Act, all right? She said that she would use parole authority to create a more parole-in-place opportunity, meaning bringing them here, bringing them here, bringing them here on the taxpayer dime and letting them just sit here and hang out to their day when they have a hearing. Never. She still backs what she calls an earned pathway to citizenship. She also backs cuts to ICE and Customs and Border Patrol. And yet now she's suddenly going to be hard on things. And oh, by the way, you'll be happy to know that she's going to the border perhaps as early as this Friday. Really? Yep. Only took her 3.5-4 years. But she's apparently going to make a border stop this coming Friday, which is immediately being called a political stunt. Well, Reuters did a poll the other day. And even Reuters, which is not known for being conservative, admits that the vast majority of people polled by 10 points prefer Trump over her on illegal immigration. But don't worry, she's going to fix it on day one. All right, look, we're going to take a break right now. We'll take that break. I'll come right back, and we're going to jump into a little bit of the local. We're going to talk about what's going on in Sylacauga, and is the legislature going to do something? And what happened down in Baldwin County? I'll tell you all about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Pulling pins on truth grenades. So let me jump on a few text messages and see what we got. Mike from Florence says, since the federal government won't enforce our immigration laws and even sue states for passing their own, can state agencies refuse to assist with other federal issues? It's a broad question, dude. I'm not sure what we're talking about when you say other issues, but I think the reality is we need to find a way to resist when we have what we're seeing right now. I mean, so even though federal government can have immigration laws they won't enforce, it does not prohibit a state from taking action. The question is going to be one of preemption. Can the federal government say they had a direct linkage to a true federal need or a federal action that gave them reason to have to hold off and the state intervened and foiled those plans? If that's the case, the feds may have but right now you got like Texas. Texas is putting up barriers and the federal government's just cutting them down. and they won't explain why. They just don't like them. Well, you can't do that. You might hinder our ability to do our jobs. You're not doing your job. You're not even here. Why are we worried? So, Mike, I think your question, refine your question for me, and I'll see if I can answer it a little better for you. Thomas from Athens. Since there is credible intelligence that Iran is wanting to kill Trump. Okay, you're into one of my later dippers here, Thomas. But he says, that tells me Iran wants Harris to be the next president. You think? And with all the gotaways, I judge that there are already potential Iranian-supported assassins in the U.S. right now. Ah, so now you bled into this dipper. Okay. He says, so if voters want to decide not to vote for Trump, then you're siding with Iran. Does that make you proud? Man, that's you did some artful connecting of the dots, but I think you're correct, sir. Yellow Dog Mike. What's he saying? Yellow Dog Mike. Hey, Phil, will Trump finish the border wall and make Mexico pay for it? I hope so. I hope he does. Yellow Dog. I tell you what, Yellow Dog, here's an idea for you. One of the largest sections of the Mexican economy, go look it up, is money wired home from people who are working in the United States. Literally billions, billions and billions. I want to say, and I'm going from memory here, it was like $124 billion a year is wired back from the U.S. to Mexican citizens who are, you know, receiving money from their family members working over here. How about this? How about we just put a surcharge on that and use the surcharge to pay for the wall? I like it. In essence, at that point, Mexico will be paying for the wall. Jay from Legtown says, a friend of mine who works for one of the local utility departments told me yesterday that recently he saw a very large order of 25,000 residential government housing units to be built somewhere between Huntsville and Gunnersville. Who do you reckon those are for? Oh my gosh, I don't know. I don't know, man. That's amazing. Aaron from Huntsville says, I keep receipts. And he has a meme about something. I don't know what this is about. Okay. All right. Thanks, Aaron. All right, listen, let me jump on something. And coming up here in a few minutes, State Senator Lance Bell is going to be on with us. But so Senator Bell and I were texting back and forth this morning. He is one of those who has Sylacauga, I believe, in his Senate district, or at least a portion of that county, Talladega County. They had a town hall the other night where there were a number of residents there who were expressing frustration with wanting to know more about Haitian immigrants being dropped off in their town. And truthfully, if you look at it, Sylacauga is not one of the towns where it makes sense for people to want to, like if you're going to ship somebody somewhere, don't you think they ought to be shipped somewhere where there's a job waiting or housing available or the means to support them? And right now, what we're seeing is no, because Sylacauga is a great little town. I love Sylacauga. It's a beautiful little place. It's got wonderful countryside, but there's not like an industrial base there screaming for more workers. There's not like there's an excess of housing available to house people who just show up with no place to live. So they had a town hall the other night, and I will point out the article from 1819 says that there was not a great deal of vitriol targeted towards immigrants themselves, but there was quite a bit of sentiment about the people wanting to know why their local leadership can't even get them an answer. More on it. Coming up, State Senator Lance Bell. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two here on Hump Day, halfway to the weekend and a third of the way through the show. Listen, I've been in this first dipper here calling it the immigration Q&A and talking through some of the things that are out there, things we're learning, the sense of entitlement that apparently illegals have been gaining under the Biden-Harris administration and how there's really no expectation that it would get better if Harris was elected. But now let's kind of weed it down to the local level. I mentioned before we went to the break that just the other day, residents and lawmakers in Sylacauga got together for a town hall meeting. One of those guys that was in the meeting is a friend of mine, State Senator Lance Bell. Senator Lance Bell represents Alabama Senate District 11. He hails from St. Clair County himself. He's a practicing attorney. Don't hold that against him. He's also quite active in local politics, was a chair of the Republican Party in St. Clair County for a number of years. He and I actually went to law school together. So my buddy Lance Bell, how you doing, man?
Doing good. How about you?
I'm good. Hey, so let me ask you, so your district, I know the lines have been drawn a little bit. Your district includes parts of Talladega County, I guess?
I've got the bulk of St. Clair, the majority of Talladega, and the bottom part of Shelby.
Okay. All right. Wow. That's some good ground right there.
Yeah.
All right. So Sylacauga has been kind of in the news, really in the national news. This is a weird dynamic. I mean, and I get it. We're not the first in the nation to have van loads of people dropped off, but you also look at it and go, small town Alabama, how did they know to come here and why did they come here and what did they expect to find when they got here? And you guys had a town hall. Tell us about that. How'd it go?
I think it went overall. The citizens just want to know the same questions. And we even went to McAllen, Texas last week, a group of us, and we still don't have those answers. We left there probably more frustrated, upset, and aggravated than we ever thought we would be, because the federal government will not share information. They will not tell you much. But you look in the eyes of the Border Patrol agents, and you will see people that are disgusted at what they're having to do. They do not like it. They don't like the policies that they're having to operate under. And you talk to some of them, and they can't say much, but you can just tell they are very frustrated with their policies they're having to operate under right now.
Yeah, I mean, an unforgiving job. I mean, you sign up to be law enforcement, and you wind up being a processor of mass people. And but all right, so let me ask you this: in terms of transparency, what results are y'all getting at all as state legislators and the state government, for that matter, trying to get answers from the feds? I know you said they don't like to share information, but I mean, there's some things you look at and go, this is common sense. You got to tell us something. If we ask you a question like how'd they get here, we should know that. Are they in parole status? Are they in a fully illegal status? What the heck?
I think most of them are in the parole status, but they did share, just since the parole started, 530,000 Cubans, Haitians, Nicaraguans, and Venezuelans are in the United States. 542 have attempted to come across. They have only kicked back 12,000, and they talk about this vetting system. Well, the one thing that I think that stood out to me, there is no vetting system, because these countries will not cooperate with the United States, so there's no system to run them through. They run them through the system we have here in the United States through our local law enforcement system, the NCIC, and nothing comes back. Of course nothing comes back. So that's the vetting, which basically is there's no vetting.
Yeah. The vetting is there's no vetting. That's great. Well, so listen, let me ask you this. There's been a lot of talk about, and I saw one guy saying that how dare people ask questions, that all we're seeing right now is the KKK wearing slacks. That's what they said. The guy said at some localized meeting. I don't think it was Sylacauga. I think it was in Athens, actually, that this is just the KKK wearing slacks. It may have been down in Fairhope, actually. But what was the tone from the locals the other night? Are they ready to burn a cross in somebody's yard, like they say?
No, it was not like that in Sylacauga. To me, I think it's more, they showed up overnight. Where did they come from? What are they doing? The problem is, you got children that have come here, never been to school. Well, you got some that are trying to go to school. Well, how does the school, they talk a different language.
Yeah.
So how does the school handle that? You got children, if you got a 12-year-old that comes here, has never had any schooling prior, and they show up at school, well, guess what? We have to accept them. Who's paying for the interpreter? Who's paying for all this? What's it doing to the class sizes that we have when you add somebody in that can't communicate with anybody? And, you know, I feel sorry for the children that are being brought here.
Yeah.
These people, once you saw what's happening at the border, these charities that are operating down there should be charged criminally for money laundering. And we should also, some of our government officials should be charged with human trafficking. These people are being human trafficked. And it's horrible what they're going through. It really changes your mindset.
Well, so let me ask you this. I saw in an article this morning, I think on 1819, also, yeah, I've got it right here. It says it attributes it to State Senator Chris Elliott, one of your colleagues from down South Alabama. But Chris Elliott, and I know that you and a couple of others are actually in dialogue right now to put together a multi-bill package to protect Alabamians from issues related to federal immigration policy. What kind of things would you anticipate that we could see in a potential legislative package?
Well, I think one main thing I'd like to see is who are these sponsors that are bringing them here?
Yeah.
And create a registry. And if you are bringing people here under the parole system and you don't register with the state of Alabama, then that's a Class D felony. As we know, Class D felonies are kind of like a slap on the hand. But let's do some punishment. We want to know who you're bringing here, why you're bringing them, and we want to know if they've been vetted. I mean, it's our safety of our country and our citizens we're talking about. And when we're just bringing in 530,000, and that's 30,000 a month under this system. 30,000 a month they're coming across. That's what they're processing. And they do a newsletter and tell you how many people are here and from what countries they're here from.
Yeah.
And every month they publish that. Usually it's the second week into the next month, they publish it. And that's where you get the numbers is from Border Patrol themselves. But that's it. They don't tell you anything else.
Well,
we're going to meet Friday and come up with, we've got 8 or 9 things that we're looking at. We're going to meet with legislative services and kind of get an idea of what we can do. As you know, you were there for the Beeson-Hammond
Act,
and then the federal courts struck most of that down. So, but there may be some of that may be a better appetite today than it was back in 2011.
Yeah,
so we're going to figure it out and kind of go from there.
And let's be honest, it was Judge Myron Thompson who struck it down. I wouldn't call him the federal courts. I just think that we were stuck. We were stuck with the usual suspects who were going to make sure that anything has a conservative bent does not get a chance to see the light of day. But I really believe that some of what was struck down back then was during a different time with a different tone, and we were ahead of the game. I think some of that could be resurrected now. And then I think there's also things, brother, you can look at like, hey, federal government, you're going to have to start ponying up some money for interpreters in schools, or hey, you know, and start putting some things back on. Like, for instance, if there's going to be a massive amount of money that's wired out of our state to foreign countries by people who are here on parole or illegal, then we should get a surtax on that and then use it to help fund the education environment and the law enforcement that's necessary to support some of this stuff.
Yes.
I mean, I see all kinds of ways y'all can tackle it, and I don't envy you because I know that this was probably one of the most vitriolic things that I participated in during my 8 years in the Senate was the illegal immigration bill called the Beeson-Hammond Act. And I mean, we had protesters, man, they were lining the hallways, elbowing us as we went down through the hall, trying to vote, trying to block us from moving around. It was ridiculous. I had to call security on them. But it's just part of it, man. And I hope you guys can put together a package.
We're going to try. I think I've got 10 things written down. Each of us have been working on it. And then we're going to meet Friday and kind of go through and figure out what we can do.
Hey, last question I got for you, too, on that local leadership in Sylacauga, which I know is, you know, been in question. The mayor, the city council, it was a city council president, Tiffany Nix, who really just rooted people out the first time. Has there been any change of tone from the city council and the city leadership now that the thing has begun to sort of mature a little bit as an issue?
I think there has. We've had conversations with some of them, and I think it is they're frustrated. They don't know the answers. And I think if they could go back, they would probably change that evening. But I think it was more of we're trying to find out the answers ourselves, and I think we're all in the same boat. They're getting stonewalled like we are from the federal government, and it's very frustrating. And that's how last night I opened it up. Look, I have more questions today than I had last week. We're not getting answers. So we're going to have to do what we can on our own. And if the federal court strikes it down, they strike it down, but we're going to try to do something.
I think that's the way to go, brother. And I look forward to hearing more about it. But in the meantime, thanks for making time for us today, all right?
Anytime. Thank you.
All right. That's State Senator Lance Bell, represents District 11, hails out of the St. Clair County region, also represents Talladega and Shelby counties. And I agree. I mean, here he is. He's been down to the border twice. He's holding town halls about the issue, and he has no choice but to tell his constituents. One of the first things he says is, I have more questions today than I did last week. That's a mess right there. That's an absolute debacle. That's a complete disconnect between federal and state government. Absolute mess. And that's part of why I say leadership matters, and leadership sets the tone and the environment for things that happen. And the illegal immigration system, and even the illegal immigrants themselves, many of which are just feeling absolutely entitled right now, empowered right now. Because why? Because the leadership currently in place in the federal government is letting them feel that way. All right, we're taking a break right now. We'll come back and I'll get some of y'all's text messages and then we will jump to the next topic. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, so I got several text messages. Let me see what all I got here. What are you sending me here? Nathan from Section sending me a couple of news clips. Or says residents are required to show a photo ID to get sandbags for their household. Okay, I see what you're saying there. Oh, but you're also saying, but residents are not required to show a photo ID in Florida to vote. Okay, I got you. You can show a debit card or a credit card or a military ID. I get your point, man. Makes you wonder, why would they require a photo ID to get sandbags to help you bolster yourself against the incoming hurricane? Nathan, I got nothing for you, man. I agree with you. That's jacked up. Brian from Huntsville says, hey, Yellow Dog, he can make Mexico pay through tariffs and better than that, deporting more than one country. By the way, Brian, I think your voice text is really messing up. I get what he's saying. He says we can use tariffs and we can do better than that. David from Huntsville says Kamala Harris is speaking at the Economic Club of Pittsburgh. A bunch of clapping seals happy over her economic policies. Yeah, what economic policies? Big deal from Hartsell, Alabama, says 3,000% increase of illegals crossing the border who are on the terrorist watch list. Even as Trump is elected, America has some very dark days ahead. Potentially so, man. That's why I say something, keep your heads on a swivel, keep your powder dry. Thomas from Athens says, Big Rig, congrats on your new business. Said, I have a 59 Fender Esquire. Thank you for your very artful production of Right Side Radio.
Nice. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's
a love Fender guitar.
That's a collector's item. John from Huntsville says, "Hey, Big Rig, I'm going to miss your awesome sound effect skills. You are truly one of the best sound effect men ever."
So, appreciate that.
You're getting all the points today. I can just tell already. Grand Stan from Huntsville. Grand Stan says, "Remember the 2-year wait time before trial? Two anchor babies exist. They won't deport citizens." Yeah, I know all of it, man. All of it. Aaron from Huntsville again says, are you familiar with biometric and digital surveillance? What, Aaron, stay on task, brother. Stay on topic, man. I'm not talking about digital surveillance in China right now. We got somebody who's coming on the show here momentarily after the next break, Jay Palmer, who has been really, this is an addition to the show, but Jay Palmer has been one of the whistleblowers on issues related to illegal immigration in Alabama. So we'll see what he has to say about that. Wiley from Guntersville says, Phil, of all of what we regard as failures and debacles by the federal government of the third terms of Barack Obama, implementing the Cloward Piven strategy to near perfection. If he gets a fourth term, our republic will be lost forever. Let's don't let it happen, Wiley. I'm just saying. Scott from Athens says, Martha's Vineyard can deport illegals, but Alabama can't. Enough said. Yeah, Martha's Vineyard. They had one busload show up, and they're like, oh, we love all of you. By the way, here's your bus ticket out of our little community. Jason from Coleman says, make public flags flame retardant. What? Okay, I'm not sure what's going on. That's an old text. Anyway, Jason from Coleman, you're in the text line. Thank you. And then, anyway, all said and done, more text. All right, look, listen, here's the bottom line. This is not an issue that will get cured overnight. It's not. But it's an issue that we cannot lay down on. And I say that, and that's not meant to be facetious. What I'm saying is this. Our state legislature needs to be proactive. There are times when showing effort is as much as important as the doing of the effort. And I don't mean that to say, like, you know, hollow rhetoric. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying political posturing. What I'm saying is do something and show the people that you're doing something. And if your something gets overturned by the court later on, let it be for all the right reasons, all right? If a liberal judge gets hold of your stuff and wants to overturn it, that's on him. Within the boundaries of the law, within the well-reasoned application of the law and using the legislative power and the constitutional rights granted in the 10th Amendment to states to take a stand, Alabama needs to start putting up its firewalls. It does. A firewall. And a firewall can be in a variety of ways. You can provide legal penalties. You can provide means by which you will assess those penalties or collect tariffs or collect, you know, some measure of taxation against those who are in the wrong. There's also a demand that can be made of federal government, and you can do so under the auspices of the law using the power of the Attorney General's office. You can sue the federal government. You can. And then there are certain things that can be done. Like, for instance, if ICE is not cooperating with the turning over of lists, then you might want to look and see how many offices in the state of Alabama ICE has and begin recognizing that they might need to find a new office. I mean, there are things that we can do. But the end result is doing nothing should not be an option. All right, look, we're going to keep this conversation going a little bit longer. So when we come back from this break, we'll have a guy named Jay Palmer coming on. Jay Palmer has been a whistleblower here in the state of Alabama. He helped us find some things we didn't know were going on, even right up here in Northeast Alabama in Albertville. So, yeah, we'll see what Jay Palmer has to say, and y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.
We are back. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I'm talking about this when I do mean Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, listen, quick addition to the show here. Just had an opportunity to get someone on the air with us. Jay Palmer has begun sort of making himself known more and more around the state as someone who understands what's happening with immigration issues, identifies them, assists communities in recognizing them for what they are. He's a whistleblower himself. He actually was a whistleblower on his former employer, Emphasis, who was using HB1 visas to displace American workers by hiring foreigners for low-wage jobs. And Emphasis wound up having to pay $35 million to settle their fraud charges. But Jay Palmer is on the line with us right now. So, Jay Palmer, how you doing?
Oh, man, I'm blessed today. How you doing?
I am well. I'm well. Thanks for making some time for us. Listen, man, you've kind of been around the state. I know that you were up in Marshall County at one point. I think you spoke down in South Alabama. What are you seeing and what's the latest?
Yeah, it's thanks for having me on the show. And I want to thank, a couple other people, Teresa Ferguson and Jerry Lynn Hansen. But anyway, what I'm seeing now right now is I've befriended and actually spoke at several Haitian churches, just to try to get a lot of information. And, I got some information today that from a Haitian pastor, there are more Haitians coming over on the CHNV program.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure I think they have actually been diverted from what he's telling me from the Baldwin County area and maybe up into North Alabama. This is just what he's telling me right now. So these people are coming over here under that program, which allows $30,000 a month. But that's the Cuban, Haitian, Nicaraguan, and Venezuela program. That, there's the issue if it's even a legal program, but they're over here and they have employment authorization documents, which allows them to actually work. I'm sorry, go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you. I mean, at one of the community meetings, I know you were quoted as saying they didn't just show up here, they were sent here.
That is a great observation, because what is happening, I want to explain to the public, and I want to thank Chip Elliott, State Senator, and Ben Robbins, who I've been communicating with, who's understanding what's going on right now. So what happens is that program comes along, and to actually get to the United States, you have to have a sponsor, and that sponsor can be in any state. And the sponsor has to be able to financially support you,
Right. Give
you a job, teach you English, things of that nature. Well, if we follow the money is coming from the government to NGOs. And the NGOs are distributing the money to certain sponsors. From what I'm seeing, we have actually tried to FOIA some information, but they're not taking care of the people. There are staffing agencies that are one of the biggest culprits, and I've actually testified in front of Congress about this, about staffing agencies. What they do is they advertise jobs, and then they have what they call handlers, or I call them traffickers. They pick these people up, and they bring them to different locations to fulfill the jobs. Over 80% of the people that are coming on the CHNV program, and this comes directly from USCIS website, are flying to Miami. Hence, and then they are shipped all over the country. As you know, some of them flew to Springfield, Ohio.
Right.
but they're being bused around to different locations. Number one, they're looking for jobs. Number two, they're looking for housing. These people don't speak English. They usually come over with a Walmart bag or maybe one suitcase, and that's it.
Well, so and I look at it, and how do they choose places like Sylacauga? I mean, what is it? What was on the list somewhere that someone said, okay, looks like a good place for you will be, how about Sylacauga, Alabama? They've got a lot to offer you there. Why?
Well, cheap housing. Look at all the chicken factories around.
Okay.
The chicken plants. I met a lady the other day. I spoke at a Haitian church, and she came up to me in the grocery store and used to translate some translation software. And she was telling me she was bused to Coleman, Alabama every day.
From where?
Sometimes from Albertville.
Really?
Yes. Every day she's being bused. And I don't know how far that is, sorry, even though I'm from Barber County. But geography's kind of bad sometimes.
I can tell you it's an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah, she's bused every day, but she has to be there 20 minutes before the bus gets there. And then she comes back. She takes care of what she has to take care of. She actually said children. And she's been here for a while. And I don't know if her children came over with her. I didn't get the entire story. And then she's back at it again. But she also told me that this has been verified that a lot of them are staying in hotels, and they rotate out every 8 hours. So they'll have a shift work, and these people go to work. These people leave the hotel, and they're just shifting around. And that is not what the program was. You know, I think the program's wrong. I think the program's illegal because it was not passed by Congress. It was not approved by Congress.
Yeah.
But there's a loophole that Mayorkas and the Biden and Harris administration used. And I don't know if you know this, a lot of people didn't, but about 2 weeks ago, Mayorkas had a speech. I forget exactly where he was. He was out west, and he basically stated, and you can find this on the internet, that he was creating his own workforce.
Yeah.
And that is what he has done.
Well, it's the great reset. I mean, we're looking at the reset here, left and right.
Yeah. But, absolutely. But what do you do? These people are here. And under the law right now, or not under the law, but they are legal. They're legal here to work.
Yeah, they're legal here to work, but they have no other status than just a parole, right?
That is right. The TPS, the temporary protective status.
Well, okay, so is there any level of transparency at all? Like, one of the things that I had State Senator Lance Bell on the phone just a little while ago, and he pointed out that he has more questions this week than he did last week, and that the idea of getting the federal government to just give them a list of who's coming is next to impossible. Are you seeing any cooperation at all with federal agencies to states?
Absolutely not. You know, Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth has been the only person that has blatantly asked questions of Mayorkas. And, you know, the questions are, you know, are you vetting the sponsors? Where are the sponsors? Where are they going? Can we have a list? You know, he asked four or five, you know, very pointed questions, if I recall, that we as Americans, not just Alabamians, we need answers to. But these people are coming. And, you know, the fine people of Albertville have actually started. Some of the people that were so against everything, they have started a organization to try to do what they can to protect the community, but also protect the people that are being trafficked.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's led by a bunch of group members, church members. It's transitioning tomorrow today. And, you know, if you don't do something, you're going to have more kids that have, you know, that get in trouble. You're going to have gangs. You're going to have a lot of different things. And, you know, I struggle because I know what's right and I know what should be doing. These people should not be coming over here, but they're coming over here.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm conservative as the day is long. But at the end of the day, I mean, you go to Albertville, Alabama, they have their own economy.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
And that is something that I'm trying to educate, you know, if nothing else, all I'm trying to do is educate. Because I have lived this for the last 10 years. So this is indentured servitude. You know, the Indian people from Southeast Asia, Indians, they started this entire way of life when they started coming over on H-1Bs and B-1s and F-1s, which is a student visa. They started this entire way of life. with their own economy, with sending money back to the other countries, and it's been modeled. I was talking to someone that I'm not going to call their name because I didn't ask them, someone I have a lot of respect for up in Washington, D.C., and, you know, it's a legal person, an aide, is an attorney, and we were just talking about how this is just mimicked the Indian society. They have their own economy. They only shop at sometimes they go to Walmart, but they shop at the Haitian stores, the Haitian grocery stores, because they're treated differently there.
Well,
and that's all they know, and they don't speak English. That is another huge problem.
Well, it is, and we've got zero. I say zero. We got a minimal amount of assimilation. We've got people who come in, and there's zero plan. You know, the old adage is that a failure to plan is a plan to fail. And what we got right now is the federal government having no plan whatsoever. They're just the federal government is the biggest human trafficker in the world, and
absolutely,
and they're just shipping people around. And it's like rearranging the chairs on the deck of the Titanic. I mean, all you're doing is saying, yeah, go here, go there, go here, go there, but you don't have any plan for them, no relief for them. And the communities, I wrote a piece the other day about what's happening in the communities. It's not that people don't have a good heart, but you can't force benevolence. And when you begin to force benevolence on people.
I read that. That was an amazing article.
Well, I appreciate that. It's just frustrating to watch resources be drained from a community, which then drains their ability to even be benevolent should they choose to do so.
So let me tell you this. You know, there's an old saying that an old attorney, Kenny Mendelson, once told me, when people don't know what to do, they usually do nothing at all. And that is what is happening right now.
Yeah.
People really don't know what to do. But let me throw something out to you.
All right.
You, of course, know what an NGO is.
Sure.
All the money's going to the NGOs.
Yep.
There's an NGO in Alabama that got $17 million from the government.
Wow.
Okay. They got, since 2023, they got an extra $5 million because I looked at their 990. And one of their biggest touts is the resettlement of migrants to Alabama. Haitian migrants. Cuban migrants.
Where are they based out of? Montgomery? Where are they?
Birmingham. Well, they're Birmingham and Atlanta, but there's an office in Birmingham.
Can you name the organization?
Inspiritus.
Inspiritus. Okay. I want to know more about Inspiritus then.
You should go look at their 990. And they're supposed to be teaching English classes. They're supposed to be doing this. I had a talk with a gentleman today. I'm not going to call his name because, again, I didn't ask him. But he had a conversation with him, and he's an elected official. And he had a couple of emails back and forth with them. Then he asked them, where's the money? Communications have been cut off.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So I'm saying that I'm not accusing. I'm just saying that the government gives sponsors money to do this. Why not give it to this organization or several other organizations that I know that are actually out trying to do things to help? Because, you know, Mr. Williams, if we don't do something, I mean, these people are here, regardless if you like it or not. And they left a war-torn country. And the Biden-Harris administration did something horrible to the people of Alabama and the entire United States. Number one, they let these people come over here illegally and then gave them legal authorization. Number two, they didn't prepare the states and they did not prepare the communities. So you ask me why they're moving to small towns. It's simple. Cheaper housing.
Yeah.
But look at Albert. Go to Zillow and look at Albertville, Alabama. If you can find a place to rent, it's $2,500 a month. If you can find a place.
They've jacked up the rents have gone through the roof because they're federally subsidized. Jay, I'm out of time, brother, but I really do appreciate you making a quick call.
I hope I've helped let people understand, but I just got to plug the organization because they've done so much, if that's okay with you.
Sure, go ahead.
It's a nonprofit. It's Transitioning Tomorrow Today. It's tttoday.org. And the board members, are pastors and community people and people you wouldn't expect that are trying to teach driving lessons and trying to do something that the government should be doing to not only educate and protect the community, but stop the human trafficking.
All right, man. Got to leave it there. Appreciate you, Jay. Thanks very much. And we'll have you on again sometime soon. All right.
Hey, may God bless you.
All right. Bye-bye. You too. Wow. All right. That was an unexpected opportunity. And I ran late. So Big Rig, take us straight to the break, brother. We'll do that. We'll come back, take a few text messages and kind of wrap this up. But there's some interesting dynamics going on, especially when you consider that not only are they all here, and he's right, they're here, but they're forming their own sub-economies. That's unbelievable. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, giving you all the truth you can put on a bumper sticker. I got some text messages. A few folks chiming in. Big Deal from Hartsell says, Sylacauga was 100% a planned move by Democrats. I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it at all, man. I really don't. I mean, you can't look at this and go, ah, that makes sense. I mean, who's down there making a list? Well, let's see. We got a busload of Haitians. Where do you want to send them today? Well, let's see. What is best for them? What is best for the world? I think that since we have them here, why don't we pick a place where there's so many things for them to take part in? Let's go where there's definitely interpreters that can help them. Let's go where there's school systems that can support them with, you know, English as a foreign language. Let's go to a place where Haitian Creole is easily found for interpreters. That's going to be great. How about Sylacauga, Alabama? That doesn't meet any of the criteria. Yeah, go ahead and send them anyway. That's where we are. It's the most jackleg thing I've ever seen in my life. Jerry from Decatur says, consider where Secretary Mayorkas is from. He's a Cuban immigrant. There you go. Airborne. Well, I don't know that that plays in. I do know this, though. Secretary Mayorkas was a globalist from way back. I mean, he was an open borders guy before he ever came to the Biden administration. So him being a part of it, this shouldn't be a surprise. Just saying. And then Brian from Huntsville checking in, sounding off on Big Rig. So in case you had not heard the news, by the way, tomorrow is Big Rig's last day. Heading off to do big doings with his own company, which is like skyrocketing. We'll all be working for Big Rig one day. Anyway, all said and done, JP, who you guys have heard for quite some time and coming on and off the show, he's also been running the board for Dale Jackson's show up in Huntsville and has his own Saturday morning show on the UMP up there doing sports. JP comes in next week full time getting trained on the board here. Butters will be here to train him. So Butters will be in and out for the next few days. And then life as we know it will change, but there will forever be a spot for the Big Rig at Right Side Radio. Jeff P. from ARAB says, great segment, Phil, full of information we need to know. And yes, something must be done in these cities. I see him walking the streets while I'm at work. Jeff P. from ARAB. Yeah, you know, so here's the thing. I made my point, but I'll make it quickly again, is that you cannot force people to be benevolent. It doesn't work that way. A giving heart is not a forced issue. It's a heartstring issue. And when the federal government goes, you will give and you will like it, there is resentment as opposed to benevolence. And so what the federal government has done is immediately put people into a position where they have the tenuous battle every day between benevolence and resentment. And unfortunately, resentment is beginning to win out. Because I said on another radio show yesterday, there's a thing in economics called the Laffer curve. And the Laffer curve is when you reach the point of diminishing returns. Like for instance, like say taxation, you've got government that wants a tax and it wants a tax and it reaches a point where the people that are being taxed decide to quit being productive because they're tired of paying the taxes. And so then the economics go back down. The Laffer curve is the place where you hit the peak and you begin to wonder if it's even going to be productive anymore. Well, we're past the peak on benevolence. Unfortunately, they're pushing us into a place of more resentment than benevolence. That's a difficult spot to be in. All right, look, coming up next, we're going to be on with the Grand Council, Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, and little old me. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.